Good afternoon. My name is Catherine, and today I'm going to be giving a message that I have thought of as a message for more of a youth audience, but it may be that it is relevant for anybody who happens to be listening to this. So I've chosen a passage from Luke, so Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, to use for this talk, and that is a passage about Martha and Mary. Now, this passage isn't necessarily typically used in gospel preaching or presentations, but I really think I've got three good points from these verses that are particularly relevant to today's youth. So I'm just going to start by reading this passage, which is Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So we have Jesus and his disciples on a journey, and they came to a village. And now we know from another book in the Bible that this is in fact Bethany. And Bethany was close to Jerusalem, so an easy walk from Bethany to Jerusalem. And they're passing through this village where they must have probably passed by Martha's house, and Martha opens her home to Jesus. Now, we don't know what happened to the disciples at this point, whether they were in or out of the house, but in any case, definitely Jesus was invited in. Now, Martha, she's kind of the bad one in the story. She's sort of the one who's not doing what she's supposed to be doing, and it's her sister Mary who typically gets all the sort of the glory and the credit in this passage, but Martha starts well. So Martha, she starts well, and she does something that is key to this whole passage and this whole story that we are talking about today. So Martha opens her home to Jesus. Now, some of you, if you are youth, then you probably don't own a home. So you don't have control over the home, and you probably have to ask your parents' permission before you bring a guest into the house. But those of us who do have houses, it's our prerogative. We can invite whoever we like into our house. And Martha, on this particular day, she invites Jesus in. But whether or not we have our own house, we can still think about how we can invite Jesus to be more of a part of our lives. And what would Jesus say if he came into our homes? Our homes reflect what is dear to us, what is close to us, what we do in private. And Martha, she has the initiative to invite Jesus in. So it may be that if we don't have control over a whole house, that we have control over our bedroom, that we have control over what goes on in that space. And while today we don't have Jesus physically present with us on the earth in bodily form, but we are able to pray and to worship and to invite Jesus into our hearts. We can also invite Jesus to, as he kind of looks down from heaven, to be involved in what goes on in our homes. A lot of the home these days is not just a place for eating and drinking and sleeping. It's also it's a place where we are increasingly entertained. And this entertainment side of the home is probably one of the areas where today's youth have more opportunities to access material than just about any other generation in history. There was sort of bad content around, even at the time of the Christ in the Roman Empire, that was typically outside of the home. Today, this content is inside the home. It is And what I'm talking about is online, the content you can access online. So there is both, you know, the internet has potential for good and evil, and the amount of bad content able to be accessed through the internet in the home is unprecedented. So we have a generation of youth who have really access to content, even on, you know, on platforms that have good content as well. What we have with these international sort of streaming websites is that they're not regulated by any particular country. They work cross-border, and they kind of pass under the radar of censorship. And so you get highly sexualized or highly violent or both together content that really youth should not be watching, should not be accessing, should not be gazing upon that. Your eyes should not be looking at that content. And we will go on to see there is an alternative. So Martha, she opens her home. What we can do while any of us, whether we have a home or not, we can open our hearts. We can open our lives. We can be open to the possibility of Jesus being more involved in our lives. So point number one is Mary opens her home to Jesus. No, Martha, sorry, opens the home to Jesus. Now, Martha, she had a sister called Mary, and we read that Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. So Mary does what really we all could be doing more of, sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to the words of Jesus. Now, like I said before, we don't have Jesus physically present, so we can't be exactly like Mary and actually sit with Jesus. You know, we can see him and he's physically there in the room. What we can do is spend time in worship, spend time in prayer, and spend time reading the words of Jesus. So we can't listen with our voice to Jesus speaking directly to us. But what we can do is we can read Jesus' words. And the words of Jesus are most easily found in the Gospels. That's the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, found in the New Testament of the Bible. And so that's one way today we can listen to the words of Jesus, is by actually reading our Bible, spending time actually sitting, reading what Jesus said, and letting his words kind of penetrate our hearts and soothe our souls and inspire us to follow him and to be more like Jesus on the earth. Now, sitting in the Lord's presence, now we can worship today. So Jesus died, he rose again, he's in heaven now at the right hand of the Father, and we can worship Jesus. We can definitely spend time in worship. And what we do have in this generation is unprecedented access to great worship music. So we have unprecedented access to both good and evil. But there is definitely, in my lifetime, the amount of worship music that is available, and not only available, but available for free. So even as I was a teenager, we had to buy first cassettes and then CDs. That was the only way we could access music. Now you can get music for free on YouTube. There's so much good Christian worship content on YouTube. You can also purchase whole albums as well. But that amazing worship music and videos as well is there for free online. So point number two, sit at the feet of Jesus. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Now Martha, we read, was distracted, and because she was being busy. So she was being busy with trying to make, I guess they were going to have a meal, so she was preparing, making preparations, and she was upset that her sister wasn't doing any work. So she was doing all the work and Mary was doing none of the work, and she comes to Jesus and complains. And she recognized him as the Lord. So she had an openness to Jesus, an awareness of Jesus. She speaks to him as, she addresses him as Lord. Don't you care that my sister has left me to work by myself? You know what? As is so typical of Jesus. So Jesus, when in his dealings with people, he very often gets to the heart of the matter. So very often he gets to the point of where people are at. So he gets to what really is the issue. And for Martha, really the issue wasn't busyness. Really, you know, that there was so much work to do and that she was overworked. Really, the issue was her worry and the fact that she was really upset. Not just about one thing, but the Bible says many things. So it really is many. It's you know, quite a lot of things. It's not just like one or two things. It's like, you know, quite a lot of things Mary was worried about and upset about. And this is what Jesus addresses. And, you know, and the solution he gives is for her to try and be like her sister and to just sit at his feet as well and to listen to his words. And we read increasingly in the press about today's youth being worried and upset. Worried and upset. And there is really when at the time of your life when you actually have not so much to be worried and upset about. You're still living in your parents' house, you don't have to worry about bills to pay or, you know, house maintenance or some will have cars, but, you know, even, you know, you possibly not the ongoing costs of running a household. And yet, there seems to be a lot for youth to be worried about today. And the solution that Jesus offers still counts. So youth need Jesus. Now, young people are supposed to be connected to Creator God. They're supposed to know Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father in heaven, and to have God. So the Christian God is portrayed as three in one. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's this God, this Trinity, this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that young people need today. And the good news of the gospel is that access to God is possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. So the Christian gospel is sometimes called a gospel of peace. It's a gospel that brings it brings harmony amongst people, and it brings people not only in harmony with each other, but in harmony with God. And that is achieved. So with the way in, like I just mentioned, is the cross. So Jesus, we read a passage here in his ministry years where he is being, you know, traveling mostly around, well, from what we understand, around Israel. And and yet those were short years. Those were relatively about 3 short years of his life and with significant impact. So he achieved a lot in his 3 years of ministry by his teachings and the miracles that were displayed. And yet then he was killed on a Roman cross. And that was all part of God's plan. So it was all part of God's plan that he would die on the cross for our sins, that 2 days later, on the third day, he would rise again in victory over sin and death and sickness and hell, that Satan would be defeated, that Jesus would, so he rose again from the dead, walked out of the tomb alive. He was seen by many people. He talked with them. He ate with them. He wasn't just a ghost. He really was in the flesh. People touched him. And then he ascended into heaven where he is now, at the right hand of the Father. And it's through this death, so the death of Jesus on the cross was significant in that it was Jesus carried the sins of the world in his body on the cross, that he took the punishment for our sins, so that if we believe in him, ask God to forgive us, that we can be forgiven. We can have forgiveness now. We can know now that our sins are completely washed away, that we stand right before God now, and that we will go to heaven when we die. And it is this good news of the gospel that is also the good news for youth of today, that you don't have to go through this life on your own, that you are loved exactly as you are, that you are made the way you are meant to be, that God loves you. He sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross for you so that you can be in relationship with him. And this gift of God John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life." And this is the gift of God, and we receive it as a gift. So we receive this salvation of God as a gift. So our part is to say thank you, to receive it, to turn away from the things we're doing wrong, the things that the Bible calls sin, and to start living our lives for God. The good news is this grace continues, so that if we stuff up, if we do things wrong while we're a Christian, we can just confess that and we can know that we are assured of forgiveness. Again, time and time again. But our part is to turn around. So Jesus, when he was talking about the kingdom of God, when he was calling people to follow him, he used the phrase, repent and believe. Repent and believe. And this repent is to have a change of mind, to turn away from the things that we're doing wrong, and to turn to God. It's not just a turning away from sin and turning to nothing. It's a turning away from sin and a turning to God, a turning towards Jesus and following him for the rest of our lives. And I as well made this commitment. So I was lucky to have heard the gospel message when I was very young. And it was expressed very simply in a Sunday school class. But it made sense to me. Even though I was young, I was quite an intelligent young girl, and I could understand that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. If I believed in him, that I could be forgiven and I could go to heaven when I die. And I knew then that I wanted that. So I was one of these ones who basically converted as soon as they heard the gospel message. It wasn't, for me, it wasn't a difficult decision. I've always found faith relatively easy to believe, that there is a God, that God made the earth, that we are made in his likeness, and he wants us to be in relationship with him. And so I prayed a prayer asking Jesus into my life to be the Lord of my life and for my sins to be forgiven. And even though I was quite young then, I still believe that God heard that prayer, that he came into my life and that he was real to me from a very young age. So today, if you are listening to this and you would like to make that decision to follow Jesus, to repent and to believe in him, if you would like to be more like Mary and less like Martha, so more spending time in the presence of God, less consumed with worry and less being upset, then the invitation is for you today. You know, the invitation of God is wide. You know, the invitation, God, we're at a time in history where the invitation is still there. There's still time for you to come. You know, there is still time for you to come to God, for you to turn away from your sin and to turn to God. So if you would like to do that, then I'm going to pray a very simple prayer, and I'd love for you to pray along with me, to pray that prayer and to ask Jesus into your life. Let's pray now. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please come into my life and be my Lord and Saviour. Amen. So if you have prayed that prayer, you can be assured that God has heard that prayer, that you are what the Bible calls born again, that you are in God's people. So let me just pray for you now. Dear Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Lord God, for these people who have responded, Lord. I pray, God, that you would bless them, Lord. I pray, Lord God, abundance in their lives. I pray that they would know, Lord God, your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, that they would know that you would fill them, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit, that they would held by you, Lord God. I pray that they would be able to get hold of a Bible, Lord God, and be planted in a good church, that they would grow in faith, Lord God, and be found in you, Lord God, when they die. In Jesus' name, amen.